Hi, it's time for Foreplay. I'm Lori Watson, sex therapist and author of Wanting Sex Again, and I'm here with my co-host, Tony Delmedico, psychotherapist. Today on Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, we are ready to talk about all things sexual and intimate and help you get the most out of your sex life.
You can check us out on the web at foreplayrst.com. Visit us and send us an email if you'd like. Sex Talk with Lori and Tony. Lori, where will Foreplay lead us today?
So, Tony, today we're going to talk about kissing.
Kissing, smooching.
Smooching.
Pecs, lip locking.
Yeah.
Is kissing really that important, Lori? Are we going to devote a whole show just to kissing?
You know, I think this is the sex act that is the hardest to get right. What I hear in my office is when this one isn't right, the whole thing is more difficult. And especially for women, it seems to be more important and hold more significance for women in terms of what it means. Maybe for men, the technique is more important. But for women, if kissing falls off, kind of the romance of the whole thing falls off.
No, I would agree. I think it all starts there, in fact. And I think for guys, too, if the kissing isn't right in a long-term relationship, it really goes south from there. And I think some of the saddest moments I've felt in working with men and couples is when you hear, and typically the couple will not reveal this together in session. It will be an individual that says, you know, I never liked kissing him, or I never liked kissing her from the beginning, and I overrode that instinct, and now we have 10, 15 years together, and it's really hard to break up. But there was something in that initial kiss that was saying, something's not right here. So in our show today, I'm wondering if kissing is teachable for a couple. Like if couples are struggling with kissing, is that a teachable, trainable thing, or is it more instinctive for a couple? Be curious to know what you think.
You know, I think some people are natural good kissers and they have the same style, but people have wildly different styles. And if they were hooked up with somebody with their style, it might work just fine. But somehow or another, I agree. People will tell me, you know, from the very beginning, I really didn't like his style or I didn't like the way she kissed. And then it is difficult to retrain and help them figure out how they can make that work for them. I think kissing is a super difficult thing to work out.
So, you know, in our shows, we're talking about all sorts of things with respect to technique and how to approach things. But this is something that I think we're getting really back to initial instincts. And I mean, I think some people will complain about certain aspects of kissing. So, for example, you produce too much saliva when we French kiss.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's something I think that
sloppy is never good.
Yeah, well, unless they both like sloppy.
Right. So very few people I hear like sloppy.
Some people I know like sloppy.
Okay.
But it's an agreement on the couple. But I think if one person is sloppy and that turns the other partner off, I think that's something that can be addressed. But I think we're getting back to this ephemeral feeling of, you know, something about kissing you is not feeling quite right. And I think that's very different than some minor tweaks. Don't stick your tongue all the way down my throat or, you know, your kisses are too wet. It feels like,
right. The research does show we use kissing to assess our partner to see if this is a person who's a good match for us. That's a primary use for it. And I was talking with my kids this weekend, and I have sons, and they were saying that they have, you know, kissed girls who it was just gross and terrible. And even though she was really attractive, that's it. You know, they didn't want to go out with her again or take her out or anything. So I think it's true, but the problems we deal with mostly are people who are in it and have either then stopped kissing, right, or decided that they didn't like the way that their partner kissed in the beginning, and what do they do now?
Right. And going back to what you just shared about your son, I'm always thinking about for the person that has decided to override their instinct that, oh, something about this kiss isn't right, but I'm going to continue to date you and see you and partner up with you. What is it about that person that's overriding their own instincts, whether it's kissing or other things in their life as well? So I think there's two prongs to that. So if you've overridden it, what other areas of your life are being overridden? But staying close to kissing, which is the topic of today's show, I think it's ripe. You know, I really do. And
if they override it, you're wondering that maybe they don't pay attention to their instinct. I probably think, though, that I mean, kissing is important, and it may be very important to a person, but it's not the only thing that's important sexually and in partnership. I mean,
right. But if it becomes an issue in the couple, like I've had couples that have come in and said, you can do everything but kiss me. I right. just don't want you near me.
Right.
And that becomes, anytime you draw a large boundary like that, it becomes a big problem for the couple.
And people draw lots of lines, though, sexually, in terms right. of what they don't like. I mean, what do you ask them when they say that? What do you ask the person who is drawing such a firm line?
I think it's tough. I mean, I'm thinking about the initial thought that went through my head is kissing more intimate than sex itself?
Mm-hmm.
So, and not to be stereotypical, but prostitutes would say, you can do whatever, you know, what are we going to do? And everything's on the table except kissing.
Yeah.
So isn't it curious that...
Rumor has it that that's what they
rumor
say.
Rumor has it, yeah. So, and that doesn't come out of anywhere. So all of a yeah. sudden it's face-to-face, and you were saying we use this as a tool to figure out whether you're going to be a potential partner or not. So you yeah. can own all of me, but not the most intimate part of me, which is face-to-face.
Right. It's so close. It's eye contact. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it is more intimate maybe than some sex acts that people use with each other, right?
I mean, to extend the question, is kissing more intimate than eye contact?
Mm-hmm.
So if I can look at you and just give you a blank face, I might be able to lie to your face through my eyes. But once we start to kiss, mm-hmm. does the truth come out there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're talking about windows to the soul, eyes of the windows of the soul, lips of the window to the heart.
Right.
And maybe that's the case. Maybe a kiss doesn't lie.
Right. And that's your line, right?
That's a thought. I don't know.
Yeah. No, say that again. I
it's
like
a working
it.
Premise.
That,
well,
that
yeah,
the kiss is...
Well, if the eyes are the window to the soul, maybe a kiss is the... excuse me. If the eyes are the window to the soul, the eyes...
if the eyes are the window to the soul, then the kiss is the window to the heart, right?
Exactly.
You said that. I love that.
Yeah.
I know. I think that... A kiss is something important. I mean, obviously, for some people, it is the ultimate important. It tells them whether or not there's this chemistry. I mean, I definitely remember a man that I dated who I wasn't attracted to, and he kissed me, and boom, that was it.
It jump-started
you know,
everything.
That was it. You know, after that, I was always attracted to him. But
gotcha.
Yeah, that was really important.
Well, in one of our sessions earlier, we were talking about how couples can jump-start their intimacy if it's mm-hmm. dead, and I think a passionate kiss is a thing that can really get a pilot lit started in a hurry. So mm-hmm. don't underestimate even if you've been in relationship for a long time, the importance of taking time for a passionate kiss. One of our tips in a previous program was giving your partner a 10-second kiss. And if you tried that, what you'll find is you have to show up after the first 2 or 3 seconds. So I was actually thinking about the kiss of death. Like, what is the kiss of death for a couple in a committed relationship? And I think it's when their pleasure kissing goes to just a goodbye hun or good morning hun kiss, which becomes a senseless peck on the lips or the cheek, and you're not even present. And that becomes
maybe.
The norm.
But I like that, too. I like the ritual kissing as well. I think that mixed into a life with somebody is important. I mean, to me, it's empty if we're saying goodbye and not hugging and kissing. I mean, I think factored into an intimate relationship, it's important. I think what you're saying is if it becomes mom and dad, right? If it's just that's the only thing people are doing, the only way they kiss, maybe that's the kiss of death. But I think, I mean, I need that too. I think that that's really important. And I encourage couples to do ritual kisses.
So we're talking about the difference between pleasure kissing and ritual kissing. And listen to that, I would agree. Like if you're, I think the idea is just no empty kisses.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go bye hun and you're not even present in the peck. But if you're saying goodbye hun and you mean it and you're aware and she's aware that you're saying goodbye, I'm going to miss you today, I'll see you tomorrow. You're both present in that moment, even if it's just ephemeral. That's a win as far as kiss goes. I'm talking about empty kisses. There should be no bad kisses in the relationship. You try to show up, whether it's pleasure kissing or ritual kissing.
You got high standards, Tony.
What, asking your partner to show up?
Well,
I mean, I got two small kids. I'm worn out. I haven't slept all night. This is just one more box I'm going to check, and it becomes empty. And most people, by the time they get to my office, they're saying, I'm living with a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
We've become good friends, and that tells me that the kissing has dried up. They may be pecking each other to death, but there's nothing behind it.
Sure, there's no connection is what you're talking about. Is symbolically, you're saying if they're kissing and it's just empty and passionless and that they never really see the other person, that that's indicative of the emptiness in the relationship.
I'm saying there's nothing behind their lips. They're gone. They're already out the door and at work. They're not actually in the moment saying, thank you for breakfast. Thanks for last night. You were amazing.
Uh-huh.
I got to go. This isn't a pleasure kiss, but this is, hey, I'm really glad we're together.
Sure.
And I think that's missing as well. So maybe we're just talking about the quality of the kisses.
Sure. I think I'm maybe saying, though, if a couple is busy and, you know, some of the kissing is perfunctory, I don't think that that's indicative for them to be, you know, saying that the relationship is really in trouble or worrisome. It's when you're talking about the qualitatively that the relationship is empty of them being present for each other, kissing or otherwise.
I'm saying the kisses have to be meaningful. Over time.
Every kiss has to be meaningful.
I think you should strive towards that. I mean, there's some couples, women come in that said, my rule is no bad kisses.
No bad kisses.
Whether that's a ritual kiss, a pleasure kiss, I'm not going to just take scraps off the table. If you're going to kiss me goodbye, mean it. Mean it. Show
wow.
up like you're going to say
wow,
goodbye. I'm going to demand that you're going to be present in the kiss.
That feels like a lot of pressure.
Could be.
Yeah.
You don't have couples coming into the office going, our kisses are too meaningful. We've become too intimate, too close. And we're trying to unravel where do couples start to find the divide. And I think kissing is something that happens very early upstream that begins to separate the streams out. We take each other for granted, basically.
Well, let's talk some more about this. We'll be back in a few minutes with 4Play Radio Sex Therapy.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com and sign up for their next couples retreat weekend hosted by Lori Watson. Awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Welcome back to 4Play with sex therapist and author Lori Watson and psychotherapist Tony Delmedico. In the first half of our show, we've been talking about kissing, Lori, and the battle lines have been drawn.
That's right. That's right.
Welcome back to the second segment. So we got off on a bit of a rant there. I'm demanding more passion and more presence in kisses.
Well, I'm not against that. I'm just saying that ritual kisses are important, too. They add to the affection in the relationship, and you were saying that even ritual kisses should be meaningful, and I'm saying that might be a little high of a standard for, you know, a young family with kids running all around. Kissing goodbye and hello is sweet, I think. I don't know that it necessarily is always meaningful or has to be, but I think it lends to this nest of good feelings, affection, warmth, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm not saying has to and always and never. I'm saying as a couple, if we're fighting to stay close with small kids under our feet, talking about how are we going to do that as we're going out the door, as we get home, I want to be seen and felt and cherished. And one of the easiest and quickest ways we can do that is in ritual kissing. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with a couple saying, I want you to show up when you put mm-hmm. your lips on mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it tells the truth, I think, is what we're getting at. The window to the heart.
Okay. Kissing is the window to the heart for Tony.
Well, yeah. Well, jumping around a little bit, I was wondering if one could have an orgasm just from kissing. Is that possible?
Sure. Yeah? Sure. I mean, kissing can be very arousing, and absolutely. I mean, remember high school, right? How many kids just made out for hours and hours and had orgasms? I suppose there might have been a little bit of touching going on, too.
Yeah. And I would suppose if we couldn't go any farther in relationships, if kissing was all we had, kissing in our minds, most of us wouldn't have any problems orgasming sooner
right.
or later.
So right, exactly.
That's how powerful kissing is, and I think that's why we're devoting a show to it
mm-hmm.
Today, at least one show. I'm sure we'll have more to say on the topic as we go along.
Probably so. So what do you think makes for this connected kiss in your mind? A real passionate kiss? What makes it good?
Oh, I think the first thing is presence.
Right. And what does that mean?
I don't know. I think you can sense when somebody's just giving you a gratuitous peck on the cheek, or, okay, I'll reluctantly turn my mouth to yours. And when somebody passionately wants you, I think it's one of the few places that you can let somebody know that you're really interested in them. And so a lot of emotion can be translated through the lips. I think there's a lot of, I think the nose and the lips have the most nerve centers on your face. And, you know, there's Eskimo kisses. They figured out a way to do it just with rubbing noses. So
it's
don't
somehow
underestimate
another
the power of the kiss.
Being there for them. I do think that.
Well, if we went home and gave our partners empty kisses, I'd be curious to know if we'd be called out on that. So maybe for the listeners at home, you could try that. Give them a blank.
We would love to hear from you.
Give them
you
a dead fish
what
kiss.
What do you think?
Give them a dead fish kiss and see what happens.
I think there's a lot of women out there that are just groaning and saying, you know, everything I do has to be meaningful sexually. Sometimes I just don't have that in me, you know, and now you've added kissing to the list that has to be meaningful and deep. And, you know, I don't know. I think that is a pretty tough expectation. I do think, though, if we're talking about a kiss that is passionate, as a set-aside subset of kissing, what you talked about showing up as being present is important. I also think looking the person in the eyes is really important. Seeing them, I mean, that to me is what couples say, especially women say, is missing. That sometimes he starts to kiss her and he doesn't look at her. And so it feels like a body, not necessarily her.
It's a way to avoid intimacy, maybe, with the eye contact. It may be too much. I think I want to emphasize that for our female listeners out there, if you're taking this as just another thing that you should do, that's not how we're intending this. I think what we're trying to do is bring couples together. So it isn't now you also have to be present in your kisses. I think as a couple having the conversation around how can we be more present, it's just as fair that he needs to show up in his kisses as well.
Sure.
So not just, you know, not hi, hon, I'm home, or goodbye, have a nice day, hon, and give her a peck. So I'm assuming in our conversations that you're not taking this as a male-female thing, that it's actually a joint thing. We actually both have to show up for good kisses, and we're both accountable when they happen and when they don't. And there's nothing wrong with doing your own self-check, going, wait, I've been kissing you all week, and I'm not even present in those kisses, and coming back to your partner and going, you know, well, here's a real one. Remember we said we're both going to show up for our kisses, and we've gotten back into our old rut of not showing up together. And that's not throwing stones at one another or setting undue expectations.
I guess I take it as what you're saying is qualitative. You're talking about a way of living in general that is aware of the other, aware of the needs of your partner, aware of the needs of the coupleship, and aware of your own needs. And you're bringing that awareness sort of to daily living, right? It's a more thoughtful way to be versus how we all can get caught up in the hurry scurry of life and all the things we got to do in our busyness. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about this thoughtfulness.
Yeah, it's almost as if the relationship is a third thing between us, and we're both looking at this going, you know, how do we nurture this relationship in the midst of our busy lives and children and all the other things that we're asked to do? And one of the ways we can do that is sort of keep showing up for each other in the form of a kiss, if that's all we have, if it's a ritual. And I think ritual in general is very important. So I love what you're saying about ritual. But I also think the ritual becomes empty if we're just going through the motions of it. And so to have that meaningful, we both have to show up for that. One of the things I'm thinking about that just ran through my head, there was a documentary, of all things, on Duke's cross-country program in the 60s or 70s. The pioneer of that program was being interviewed, and he was a gentleman in his 70s, maybe even early 80s at the time they were filming it, and he was wandering around campus, and they would cut every now and then to his wife, and they'd had a long, long relationship together. And at the end of all the accolades and the story of Duke's cross-country program, they asked him offhandedly, you know, how long have you been married? And he said something like 56 years or something. And they said, well, what's the secret to your happiness? And he said, giving my wife a 10-second kiss every day.
Aww.
And they cut to both of them and kissing.
Go Duke.
I know. Well, go him and go her for committing to do that. And so I took that, and that's where I got the 10-second kiss thing. Unabashedly stolen from that documentary.
56 years, that's a long relationship, a good one.
And I thought, well, 10-second kiss, that's nothing. Anybody can do that. And then once I started to try to do it, It's like, wow, you actually have to show up.
Yeah. And I think another point that you're making is it is the little things that over time, you know, make or break our relationship. You know, the way we give to each other, the way we show up for each other, that's cumulative. You know, it may feel like, okay, I've been empty for a week because I'm too busy, but maybe then we get a hold of this thoughtful way of living and then we bring ourselves to our partner, you know, in kissing in other ways, right? Other sexual ways and other ways of emotional connection.
Yeah, I would agree.
Absolutely. I think let's go back, though, to the problem of how do we get people to kiss in a way that the other one likes it if they don't like the way their partner kisses. I mean, that is tough. I said looking in the eyes, I think, is important. This may seem elementary, but tilting your head. You know, people, when they do the peck, right, when we do give each other a peck, it's often our head is not tilted. So a passionate kiss is often melting into each other with a head tilt. And that seems like so crazy that you would have to mention that. But I can't tell you the number of people who talk about their partner doesn't tilt their head. It's like they're not giving up into the kiss.
Yeah, it's almost like they're unwilling to go all in.
Yeah.
So as you're sitting here thinking, I'm imagining into, is it a 15-degree tilt? Is it a, what's a 90-degree tilt? Is that all in?
45 degrees. 45
yeah,
degrees, right? Is really
is your
important.
Yeah, you're committed. I'm definitely in.
And I think for women, a lot of women talk about they love it when a man reaches for her face. Mm. And I think men like that too.
Yeah.
You know, the face, as you talked about earlier, is so intimate. And so it's this touch. I mean, I also think it blends the caress of a parent, you know, a mother touching a child's face, cupping their face, and then the romance of that followed by the intimate kiss.
Oh, yeah.
I think that sometimes it's not actually what they do in the kiss, but it's the whole setup that can help them.
It's funny, we're talking about passionate kisses, perfunctory kisses, ritual kisses. I mean, what you're describing is a real kiss. I'm gonna take you by your head or vice versa. I'm gonna allow whatever I want or whatever is evolving between us to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
And I know you said that some people do like sloppy kisses and very few that I would say. But, you know, when we talk about French kissing, I think one advice I would give is to start with slightly parted lips, but not necessarily swallowing your partner whole in the beginning.
Gotcha. So don't...
Don't swallow
Go
their
slow.
Head. On
Go
the
easy.
First.
Yeah.
Nibble a little bit. Yeah. You know, take it slow. I mean, it begins and it has a middle and it has perhaps an end too, but it isn't just, you know, being devoured. Maybe sometimes. I mean, sometimes, right? You know, the fast up against a wall being devoured is good.
Sure.
But most.
Looks great
most,
in the movies anyway.
Most French kisses, you know, begin with some sort of.
Some warm up.
And
allowing the kiss to bloom into whatever it wants to bloom into.
Right. And I think the one problem is you have to know where your partner feels like the meeting point is. I mean, some people, their natural meeting point is outside the mouth. You know, their tongues meet outside the mouth. Sometimes it's in her mouth. Sometimes it's over her mouth. Sometimes it's, what you do in a French kiss. That meeting point is the big place I see couples mix it up. And it's just an expectation. You know, they have their style.
Right.
This is my meeting point. And they think that that's natural. That's normal. That's where everybody meets in a French kiss. And it isn't necessarily. There's like lots of meeting points and natural places. And you kind of have to talk about that.
Well,
if you don't like the way your partner kisses.
Yeah. Well, and even if you do, I mean, we all get into patterns. And I think... It can be really exciting when that pattern's broken. So if you're the person that's usually putting your tongue in the other person's mouth at some point in lovemaking, if he or she is coming back at you, that can be very exciting as well. Mm-hmm. So having some flexibility around it versus we always do that or we never do this can really add some excitement to it. So
right, and just your Freudian slip. I mean, you said her putting her tongue
right.
back. I mean, I do think there is something that men are more penetrating in general. I mean,
in
general.
And how exciting to be penetrated as a man with her.
Sure,
tongue, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That can be great. I think the other thing is that the kiss needs to deepen. You know, as you start kissing, then you pull your bodies together. You know, it's the reach to the face, maybe entangling your fingers in their hair, and then it's pulling your bodies in. And sometimes people are too stiff and their partner feels that, and I think it goes back to what you said, they don't feel their presence, even if technically the kiss is on point, you know, something is happening, the way they're not melting together in it.
Yeah. Laurie, that brings us to the end of the episode and time for our tips of the week
just
for kissing.
Just the tip.
Just the tip, Laurie. What's your tip for kissing?
I think that you have to really pay attention to good dental hygiene. Dental floss, brush your teeth. I cannot overemphasize how women particularly really like smells to be sweet and good. So go for the dental floss.
And my tip is just ask. Let's talk about our kissing. What do you like about my kissing? What don't you like about it? So have the couple have the conversation.
It brings up the conversation that might be difficult and maybe has never been had.
Right. Well, Laurie, today on kissing, we have touched on the philosophical aspects, the technical aspects of kissing. We've certainly opened up a few boxes of worms here that hopefully should get people talking at home.
I hope so.
Thank you for joining us today on Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm Tony Delmedico, psychotherapist with author and sex therapist Laurie Watson.
Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.